Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The indictment lists 225 incidents in which we allege that the defendants worked together to prevent the construction of the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center.
Georgia's Republican Attorney General has filed RICO charges against 61 activists he accuses of being part of a criminal enterprise to stop Cop City. The $90 million police training complex facing ongoing protests in Atlanta. The charges were approved by the same grand jury that indicted former President Trump and 18 others on RICO charges. We'll get an update from a movement lawyer and a Stop Cop City activist in Atlanta. Then to Ukraine, where U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has made a surprise visit to Kyiv after the Biden administration said it will, for the first time, send munitions containing radioactive depleted uranium to Ukraine. We'll speak with a British journalist about his expose, contamination fears after Ukraine loses a British tank with depleted uranium munitions. Finally, to the first Africa Climate Summit in Nairobi. We'll speak with a Kenyan activist there.
Hi, my name is Eric Kituna, Youth Climate Justice Organizer based in Nairobi, Kenya. And I'm here on the last day of the Climate Justice Camp, where over 450 Youth Climate Justice Organizers came together to connect, build community, strategize against the fossil fuel industry, and envision a just and equitable future.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Enrique Tarrio, the former leader of the far-right Proud Boys, has been sentenced to 22 years in prison, the longest sentence handed down to anyone involved in the January 6th insurrection. In May, Tarrio and three other members of the Proud Boys were convicted of seditious conspiracy. On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly said Tarrio was, quote, the ultimate leader of that conspiracy. Tarrio received the stiffest sentence, even though he was not in Washington on the day of January 6th, since he'd been arrested in a separate case days earlier and was ordered to stay away from D.C. During the trial, prosecutors had portrayed the Proud Boys as having served as Donald Trump's army on January 6th. Last week, four other Proud Boys were sentenced to between 10 and 18 years in prison. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has arrived in Kyiv on an unannounced visit to Ukraine. This is Blinken's fourth trip to Ukraine since the Russian invasion, but for the first time, Blinken plans to spend the night. He's expected to announce a new package worth more than $1 billion in U.S. aid for Ukraine.
We want to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs not only to succeed in the counteroffensive, but has what it needs for the long term to make sure that it has a strong deterrent, strong defense capacity, so that in the future, aggressions like this don't happen again.
Blinken's visit came just hours after Russian cruise missiles hit Kyiv in the first aerial attack on the capital in about a week. Meanwhile, a Russian drone hit the Danube port of Izmail in the Odessa region, killing one person. There are a number of developments in the legal cases against Donald Trump. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows pleaded not guilty Tuesday and waived his formal arraignment. Meadows is one of Trump's 18 co-defendants accused of being part of a criminal enterprise that attempted to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia. Attorney John Eastman and former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark also pleaded not guilty Tuesday. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., Special Counsel Jack Smith has warned Trump's daily statements may prejudice the jury pool in Washington, where Trump is facing a separate criminal trial. Trump has repeatedly attacked Smith, as well as U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan. In other legal news, the trial of Trump's former trade advisor, Peter Navarro, has begun. He was indicted for refusing to comply with a subpoena from the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. In Atlanta, Georgia, 61 activists have been indicted on RICO charges for their involvement in the protests against a construction of a massive $90 million police training complex known as Cop City. Georgia's Republican Attorney General Christopher Carr accuses the activists of violating the state's Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. The indictment was handed up by the same Fulton County grand jury panel that indicted President Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants on RICO charges. Many of the protests have already been charged with domestic terrorism. The ACLU blasted the indictment of the Cop City protesters. ACLU attorney Amra Ahmad said, quote, "We are extremely concerned by this breathtakingly broad and unprecedented use of state terrorism, anti-racketeering, and money laundering laws against protesters," unquote. We'll have more on this story after headlines. The United Nations Secretary General announced earlier today that climate breakdown has begun. Antonio Guterres made the remark at the World Meteorological Organization released new data on this summer's record-breaking heat in the Northern Hemisphere. According to the organization, last month was the hottest August on record, quote, by a large margin, and the second hottest month ever recorded. The only month hotter was this past July. Guterres said, quote, "The dog days of summer are not just barking, they are biting." This comes as extreme weather continues to devastate areas across the globe. In southern Brazil, at least 21 people have died after a cyclone triggered floods and landslides in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. The storm forced at least 6,000 people from their homes.
"I feel devastated. I lost everything. There are many people who lost much more, but here at home, I have nothing left."
In other climate news, a massive rainstorm hit Greece, Turkey, Bulgaria, killing at least 7 people. In Istanbul, about a dozen people had to be rescued from a library after being stranded by floods. Parts of Greece recorded more than 30 inches of rain. The storm comes as Greece just begins to recover from record-breaking wildfires. Meanwhile, in China, a typhoon inundated the southeastern province of Fujian, forcing tens of thousands to flee their homes. India is preparing to host the G20's annual summit for the first time. The talks begin in Delhi Saturday. For months, Indian authorities have ordered bulldozers to destroy the homes of people who live in shanties near the G20 conference. Many displaced residents say they have no place to go.
"We have been living here for the last 25 to 30 years. Where do we go now that our houses are suddenly demolished? We have no facilities or a place to live, and we have become homeless and are on the road. I hope the authorities get sick and die, and they will be cursed by the poor."
Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has officially recognized two indigenous territories in an attempt to protect the land from illegal loggers, miners, and cattle ranchers. Lula spoke Tuesday at a ceremony to mark Amazon Day.
"The Amazonian people deserve to have their rights guaranteed and opportunities for a better life. If there is no future for the Amazon and its people, there will be no future for the planet either. That is what today's event is about: concrete actions to guarantee the future of the Amazon and each of us."
In a major diplomatic development, Saudi Arabia and Iran have exchanged ambassadors, formally ending a 7-year diplomatic rift between the oil giants. In March, China brokered a deal for the two countries to restore relations. The Spanish Soccer Federation has appointed Montse Tomé to become the first woman to serve as coach of the women's national soccer team, which won the Women's World Cup 3 weeks ago. The announcement was made shortly after the federation fired coach Jorge Vilda, who had long faced criticism for his coaching style. Calls for Vilda's resignation grew after he expressed support for Spanish Soccer Federation President Luis Rubiales, who forcibly kissed Spanish player Jenny Hermoso during the Women's World Cup awards ceremony. Rubiales is facing nationwide calls to be ousted, including from the women's soccer team staff and prominent politicians. Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said, quote, one cannot aspire to represent Spain and make Spain look bad with attitudes and speeches that embarrass us and that do not represent us, unquote. In the United States, a federal court has struck down Alabama's congressional map, which was designed by Republicans to dilute the power of black voters. The judges said they were, quote, deeply troubled that lawmakers had defied a prior court order to draw a map with two majority black districts. Two of the judges in this case were appointed by Donald Trump. A court-appointed special master will now draw new congressional districts. Alabama's attorney general has vowed to appeal the decision. In Texas, the impeachment trial of Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton has begun in the Republican-controlled Texas State Senate. Paxton has pleaded not guilty to all 16 articles of impeachment. He is accused of abusing his office, bribery, and obstruction of justice. Here in New York, the police department has agreed to change how it responds to protests after reaching a settlement in lawsuits stemming from the department's violent response to the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020. The NYPD reached the settlement with New York Attorney General Letitia James, the Legal Aid Society, and the New York Civil Liberties Union. As part of the settlement, the NYPD agreed to stop using a tactic called kettling to trap and arrest protesters. Other key elements to the settlement include the creation of a new oversight committee to assess how police respond to protests. New York Attorney General Letitia James said, quote, too often, peaceful protesters have been met with force that has harmed innocent New Yorkers simply trying to exercise their rights. Today's agreement will meaningfully change how the NYPD engages with and responds to public demonstrations in New York City, she said. And former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson has died at the age of 75. He also served as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Energy Secretary, U.S. Congress member. Yes, spent 14 years in Congress, including a period as chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Richardson also went on dozens of humanitarian missions to help secure the release of Americans held overseas, including trips to Iraq, Afghanistan, Cuba, Colombia, Sudan, North Korea, and Russia, where he helped free the WNBA star Brittany Griner. As Energy Secretary, Richardson faced criticism for his handling of the arrest of the Taiwanese-American nuclear scientist Wen Ho Lee, who was held for 278 days in solitary confinement after being falsely accused of being a Chinese spy. Wen Ho Lee eventually pled guilty to a minor charge. At the time, a federal judge issued a dramatic apology to Wen Ho Lee, but Richardson would continue to defend his handling of the case. He appeared on Democracy Now! In 2005.
I believe that we acted properly in safeguarding our nuclear secrets. He was convicted on several counts. There were some mistakes in that case. It involved the entire federal government, and I stand behind everything that I did.
To see the whole interview with Governor Richardson that Juan Gonzalez and I did back in 2005 in Santa Fe, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we're beginning today's show in Atlanta, Georgia, where the state's Republican Attorney General has announced a sweeping new RICO indictment against 61 activists and others he accuses of being part of a, quote, criminal enterprise to stop Cop City, a massive $90 million police training complex that's facing widespread opposition and ongoing protests. The charges were brought in Fulton County and approved by the same grand jury that indicted former President Donald Trump and 18 of his associates on RICO, or racketeering charges, brought by Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, who is a Democrat. At a news conference Tuesday, Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr and John Fowler, head of Georgia's prosecution division, laid out their allegations and why they brought the case in Fulton County.
As alleged in the indictment, the defendants are members of Defend the Atlanta Forest, an anarchist, anti-police, and anti-business extremist organization. We contend these 61 defendants together have conspired to prevent the construction of the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center by conducting, coordinating, and organizing acts of violence, intimidation, and property destruction.
Why Fulton County and not DeKalb County? Georgia racketeering law allows that, and we availed ourselves of the Georgia racketeering law to do that. Anywhere that a predicate act or an overt act in furtherance of a conspiracy occurred in any county where that occurred is where you can indict the case, and we chose Fulton County. When you allege a conspiracy to commit racketeering, there's no requirement under Georgia law that they know each other. The whole purpose of the Georgia racketeering law is that they're all working in some way, shape, or form towards the same goal, and they formed a conspiracy to do that. That doesn't necessarily mean that every person has to talk to every single person. All you have to do is commit one overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy with the others, and then you can be guilty of racketeering. So that's why, is because it's a large case, and so if you want to tie everybody together and they're all trying to do the same thing, racketeering is the appropriate charge.
In addition to the 61 racketeering indictments, five people were also indicted on domestic terrorism and first-degree arson charges. Three people with the Atlanta Solidarity Fund were each indicted on 15 counts of money laundering for their work to provide bail money and legal aid for protesters. The indictment was issued on September 5th and filed August 29th. The indictment alleges the protests included violent anti-police sentiment that's now one of the, quote, core driving motives of protests to stop Cop City. For more, we go to Atlanta, where we're joined by Kiana Jones, a Stop Cop City organizer for Community Movement Builders, and Devin Franklin, a movement policy counsel at the Southern Center for Human Rights. He worked over a decade as a public defender in Atlanta. His group has issued a call for lawyers to represent the 61 people now facing RICO charges. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! These are late-breaking developments. Devin, let's begin with you. Can you explain what happened? Can you explain these RICO charges against 61 activists from the same Fulton County grand jury that approved the RICO charges against President Trump? But this was all led by the Republican attorney general. It almost looks like a response to what Fani Willis did with the grand jury against President Trump and others.
Good morning. Yes, it certainly is a response, but I would argue that it is a response to the larger movement that has been as it pertains to several matters of police violence and government prejudice. It's just a lot going on. And I think that the state has shown that they don't have a meaningful way to respond to what the people are showing that they want. And they are choosing to use the legal process in a essentially violent way to target protesters.
And could you talk about the indictment itself, some of the main aspects of it, Devin Franklin, and the number of people is extraordinary that are charged?
Yeah, it's really rare for this number of people to be included on an indictment. In my 12 years as a public defender in Fulton County, I never had a case that was this large or witnessed a case that was this large. I think that when we look at the number of people that were accused and we look at the allegations that are included in the indictment, what we see are a wide variety of activities that are lawful, that are being deemed to be criminal. And that includes things such as passing out flyers, right? A really clear example of First Amendment, the exercise of First Amendment rights. We see that organizations that were bailing people out for protests or conducting business in otherwise lawful manners have been deemed to be part of some ominous infrastructure. And it's just not accurate. This is really clearly a political prosecution.
And how does it turn out that the same grand jury that indicted Trump and his associates was the grand jury on this particular case?
It appears to be so from the limited information that I've been given, and it could simply be a matter of timing. It could have been something that was organized by DA Fani Willis and AG Chris Carr. There's no way to know for certain. But what we do know is that for some point in time, for a period of time, rather, the Attorney General of the state of Georgia, the governor of the state of Georgia, Brian Kemp, have both expressed discontent with the success that has been gained by the Stop Cop City movement and the momentum that has been created in the streets among the people, and that they have chosen to use those things which they have at their access, at their disposal, to essentially attempt to criminalize otherwise lawful activity.
Devin Franklin, what's interesting is that the DeKalb County's top prosecutor, the DA, announced she is stepping away from every case involving Atlanta's public safety training center, Cop City. DeKalb County District Attorney Sherry Boston announced she is out. She will not support these charges going forward. Your response to this?
I think it's really telling because the DeKalb County prosecutor has, you know, a pretty good reputation in the legal community. And for her to take a look at the actions that the attorney general was seeking to go forward with in her county, and for her to say, you know, I don't want any parts of it. I have concerns about the legitimacy of these charges. I have concerns about the intent of the charges that the prosecutor, attorney general, Chris Carr is seeking. I think that it is kind of a unique way of saying the quiet part out loud, which is something is not right. Something doesn't smell right with this entire situation, and I want no parts of it. And I think that will bear out as we get deeper into the discovery that is to follow the indictment.
And very quickly, before we go to Kiana Jones, your own center, the Southern Center for Human Rights, has it been named in any way in this? You have called for lawyers around the country to come help represent the protesters, but you yourself are a lawyer and you're a former public defender.
Correct. Yeah. In no way that I'm aware that we have been named in anything. We are attempting, essentially just trying to make sure that persons who are brought within the arms of the legal system have access to counsel. That's a constitutional right, and there is nothing unlawful about ensuring that people have fair, accurate, zealous representation when they're taking on a system such as what the state of Georgia is being at this point in time.
I'd like to bring Kiana Jones into the conversation, an organizer against Cop City. Welcome to Democracy Now! And your response to these indictments.
Thank you for having me. My response to these indictments is just the same as Devin's. We know that this is retaliation for anyone who seeks to oppose the government here in Georgia. A very clear message was sent with this particular RICO indictment. We see that the date on this indictment reads May 25th, 2020, the date that George Floyd was murdered. The date that people all across this country stood up and said that enough is enough. We won't stand for police terror, excessive violence and brutality, and the senseless killings of innocent Black people around this country. Since that date, this country has been upended by governments across the nation trying to build cop cities in order to quell protests, because the government is simply upset that people seek to oppose and use their First Amendment right to protest when we see injustice coming from those in authority.
And can you talk about examples of the charges? For example, handing out flyers, Kiana.
Yes, people were indicted for handing out flyers. And what those flyers contained, first of all, messages that say Stop Cop City, messages that give details about what Cop City truly is, that it is not just a public safety training facility, that it is actually a militarized training facility that would destroy 381 acres of forest land in a Black neighborhood where the city of Atlanta essentially had no jurisdiction in DeKalb County, but somehow backroom deals were made and laws were broken in order to acquire the land. Some of the flyers actually named the murderers of Manuel Esteban Paez Terán, known as Tortuguita. There is nothing that is wrong with giving information. So information that was obtained through public record that said, hey, there was a protester that was killed for sitting with their hands up. These are the perpetrators. We need justice. We want justice. I don't understand how giving out flyers with information is domestic terrorism. I don't understand how holding a sign that says Stop Cop City is domestic terrorism. I don't understand how opposing the government, using your legal right to protest, your right to freedom of speech, is domestic terrorism. And I certainly don't understand how attending a music festival is domestic terrorism.
And Kiana, what about this issue of the campaign for a ballot referendum against Cop City, the impact of something like these indictments on potential voters?
Oh, absolutely. This is the state's last desperate attempt to shut down the ballot referendum. We have been back and forth in court with Mayor Dickens and the city of Atlanta, also the state of Georgia, about the validity of this ballot referendum, which we know we have the right to under the Georgia Constitution, the same way Attorney General Carr went to the laws of the state of Georgia to throw together this RICO indictment. We searched the laws of the state of Georgia and the Georgia State Constitution, and we know that we have a legal right to this ballot referendum. But instead, Attorney General Carr, Mayor Andre Dickens of the city of Atlanta have tried to tie us up in court to invalidate not only this referendum, but all referenda going forward, which is a very dangerous precedent that would be set. Because what it says essentially is that if you don't like the laws that have been passed or something that's been done by your local government, then you would have no recourse. And I believe that that in itself is the ultimate pinnacle of anti-democracy.
Attorney Devin Franklin, all of these activists will be processed at the Fulton County Jail in the same way that Trump was and his co-conspirators. And can these charges be expanded to others? And as people organize for the referendum, as they organize against Cop City, which would be the largest such training facility in the country, does this completely derail it as they fight for their own vindication?
Nothing derails the movement. As Kiana spoke, there have been ups and downs throughout the entire period of this. But one thing that we know is that the movement has shown a great deal of resiliency, intelligence, and structure and organization. It's a wide-ranging movement. Black people, white people, heterosexual people, transgender people, environmentalists, social justice activists. It's a coalition of people who have come together around several issues and allow people to learn from one another about a variety of things. So I do not believe that this farce of an indictment is going to intimidate those members of the movement. To answer your first question, I do believe that the persons who have been charged at some point in time will go through the same booking processes as the people involved in the Trump indictment. It is too early to know if they will have the same access to.
You just froze, Devin.
Let me know when I'm back.
Go ahead, Devin.
Yeah, it's unclear as to whether or not members of the movement will have access to the same negotiation abilities for bonds as members of the Trump indictment did. We would certainly hope so. But it's really early in the process, and we are awaiting word of what that will look like.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us, Devin Franklin, Movement Policy Counsel at the Southern Center for Human Rights, and Kiana Jones, a Stop Cop City organizer for Community Movement Builders, both speaking to us from Atlanta, Georgia. Next up, a surprise visit to Kyiv by the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. The Biden administration says it will, for the first time, send munitions containing radioactive depleted uranium to Ukraine. We'll speak with a British journalist about his new expose, Contamination Fears After Ukraine Lost a British Tank with Depleted Uranium Munitions. Stay with us.
The wrong way for the feng shui. I like I've been like an up dog. My leg went, it's a trust fall. I crushed a lot like the pun song. A dark moon versus king me. This grudge matched up for one fall. I dropped my phone off a butt lump. I always roll the blunt wrong. The edge sharp like a buzz saw. I got chased with a chainsaw. Watched my face, now the drains clog. Was a low ball, but I played.